From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word, brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series on the Lord's Prayer, dealing with the second division of petitions in the prayer, with specific emphasis upon the phrase, "And forgive us our debts." As Dr. Cairns has pointed out, the majority of the petitions for ourselves involve the matter of sin and its consequences in the lives of believers. The focus of the present message is how to deal with sin in the life of a Christian. There is a warning against the danger of thinking that somehow we need to have a part in obtaining pardon for our sin by our own efforts or feelings. Dr. Cairns will conclude the message in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to a selection from Faith's Checkbook, a devotional collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional thought is entitled Thorough Cleansing. The text is found in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. What an exceeding joy is this! He who has purified us with the blood of Jesus will also cleanse us by the water of the Holy Spirit. God hath said it, and so it must be, ye shall be clean. Lord, we feel and mourn our uncleanness, and it is cheering to be assured by thine own mouth that we shall be clean. Oh, that thou wouldst make a speedy work of it! He will deliver us from our worst sins, the uprisings of unbelief, and the deceitful lusts which war against the soul, the vile thoughts of pride, and the suggestions of Satan to blaspheme the sacred name. All these shall be so purged away as never to return. He will also cleanse us from all our idols, whether of gold or of clay, our impure loves, and our excessive love of that which in itself is pure. That which we have idolized shall either be broken from us, or we shall be broken off from it. It is God who speaks of what He Himself will do. Therefore is this word established and sure, and we may boldly look for that which it guarantees to us. Cleansing is a covenant blessing, and the covenant is ordered in all things and sure.
Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name, His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Praise with all my sin. Oh, how shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus. Deeper than the mighty rolling sea, I am as the mountains, mighty like the thousand, most of His grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it. Greater far than all my sin and shame, my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise His name. Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. And chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches. matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame, my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name, praise His name.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
As we come to pray, we must repudiate all personal ability to pay for our debts. Now, this is very important. Lord, we are praying, forgive us our debts. We're giving up all hope of our own merit or of being able to do anything to expiate our sin or atone for our sin or make up for our deficiencies. Now, here's where the devil turns us around. And he negates even the good purposes of repentance in our heart. How often, let me just put it in very colloquial terms so that you will know. I'm not preaching theory, I'm preaching your experience. I know this is your experience because it's mine too. There have been times in your life when you have come under conviction of sin as a Christian, and you've gone before God, and you've cried for forgiveness. And the devil, and I say the devil, but our own flesh is certainly a willing partner in this foolish endeavor. The devil comes along and he makes you feel, if only you could weep more, or if only you could feel worse, or if only you would describe your sin in more dramatic terms, if only you would drive yourself down deeper into that hole of humiliation, God would be more pleased with you, and you would get a better pardon. Now notice what is happening. What is happening is that when you come with a sincere desire for forgiveness, that desire is being perverted and it's being redirected into a useless, carnal venture of self-cleansing, self-expiation, almost of Roman Catholic purgatorial suffering. Certainly, Roman Catholic penitential suffering. That by my penance I will win the pardon of God. And while you're doing that, you're neglecting to do the very thing that the Lord really wants you to do. And that is that you would face your present duty and let God cancel out your past debts. You see, once we have incurred the debt of sin, we can do nothing to expiate it. We can do nothing to remove it. It is not thy tears of repentance, it's the blood that atones for the soul. That's true not just of a sinner coming first time to Christ, that's true of a Christian. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. Sure, we would want to come with a broken heart for the sacrifices of God, or a broken heart, a broken and a contrite spirit. He will not despise. We want to come with an honest confession. We want to come with an honest desire to forsake our sin. But we must give up all thought that there is any merit in our feeling or our weeping or our praying. Let God lead us to weep as He will. But we must always recognize it's forgiveness we're after. It is pardon, mercy, and grace for which we're praying. Only the merit of Christ can cancel our debt. And then we must apply to the proper person. The Pharisees condemned Christ with a question that had a great deal of truth in it. The problem was it was misdirected. They said, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" They were right. The psalmist David said, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." Even when we do harm to others, ultimately as Christians, we recognize our sins are against the Lord. You know the text which says that David caused the enemies of God to blaspheme by his sin? It's a very interesting note that the ancient Jewish scholars, the Masoretes, have recorded in their notes to the Old Testament text. They point out that some of their scholarly predecessors had actually altered the text to make it look that way. But if you look at, and they have left it like this, that what we have is an incredible and impossible translation of the Hebrew. David didn't just cause the enemies of God to blaspheme. David's sin blasphemed God. David's sin blasphemed God. Against thee we have sinned. And haven't you noticed this? Listen. the very newspapers and radio and TV personalities who are so vociferously defending the open filthiness and wickedness of the nation's president would be the very first up before the microphones to mock God if it were Jerry Falwell found guilty of that sin, or Bob Jones found guilty of that sin, or Billy Graham found guilty of that sin. They would be the very first up there to blaspheme God. Why? Listen, our sins may be against people, but ultimately they're against the Lord. And therefore we need His forgiveness. No priest can give it to us. We live in a huggy sort of an age, tailor-made for Brother Mike there. He loves this huggy society. But it's a sort of a huggy, feel-good society. When you can forgive people for sins that they never committed and that you never were victimized by. So that you have people today confessing the sins, real or imagined, of people 200 or 300 years ago. And other people saying, well, I'll forgive you. That's all so much hocus pocus. They can neither forgive nor refuse to forgive. Let's remember this. It is God ultimately who forgives. Nobody else. Let no human mediator come in between you and Christ. This is something that religion always tries to do, not just Roman Catholicism putting a pope and a priest between the person and the Savior. In Reformation times, the Anabaptists decided they would take the spiritual part of that. At times, even as we see tonight, the political, but they were trying to leave that aside, at least at times, and saying that in many ways, they used the power of the keys, not just as in Protestantism, to declare that a person is forgiven or otherwise according to that book, but according to their own almost priestly powers. Listen, I am not a priest in this sense and cannot forgive your sin, nor can any other. Now, I can declare to you, on the basis of Scripture, confess, repent, and you're forgiven. That's a declaratory power. But the executive power belongs to God. Go to Him. And if today you're a Christian in this meeting with a life out of step with God, you're not enjoying your salvation and you're not serving your Savior and you're not living the way you ought to live and you know it, today what God tells you to do is acknowledge your sin according to Scripture, desire honestly to be rid of it, bring it to the Lord, and He will deal with it. My, what a great promise that is. You remember Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son. The father stood waiting and ready to forgive. That's the way the Lord stands ready to receive the confession of His people. There's a beautiful illustration of this. If you read a little of what happened in Scotland some years back. There's a Highland shepherd who had a lovely little daughter. It was his great joy and her great joy to go about the work together. Many and many a time she would be with him as he used his shepherd's call to call back the erring sheep. Bring back the wandering lambs. And that little girl grew up. She left home and she left the Highlands and she went down to the city of Edinburgh, the capital city of Scotland. And after a while, her letters began to get very few and far between, and finally they stopped altogether. Parents were distracted, but there seemed to be nothing they could do. Finally, they got word that a young man from the local village had been in Edinburgh, had seen her in the city, gone to speak to her, and she had turned aside as if she didn't know him. And the reason was very simple. The company she was with was not such as she wanted to acknowledge and have it brought back to her parents. The shepherd realized that this little daughter of his was now a woman who had gone far, far astray. And so he set off, and he looked a very incongruous and strange sight in the great city of Edinburgh. As he walked up and down the main streets and the little side streets, he searched everywhere he asked, in every hospital he asked, in every police station. He tried in every place he knew, and he couldn't find her. And then an idea came to him. People thought he was mad. Some laughed. Some thought they should have him committed. But amidst the traffic of the great city, up and down he went. In every street he went. And once again he cried his shepherd's call. As he went down one of the dives of Edinburgh, and people who visit Edinburgh see it as one of the world's beautiful cities. They very rarely see the seedy parts, but there are places like that. And as he went down one of the dives of Edinburgh, there was a house there. Inside that house, there was a vile, ungodly crowd. And as they were there, they heard a sound. That young woman was there, and she sat up bolt upright. The tears came to eyes that hadn't wept in a long time. Throwing aside her companions and her sin, she rushed down the stairs and into the arms of a waiting father. Why? She heard that shepherd call. Christian, this morning, you've wandered, perhaps far away from God. You've lost that joy that used to fill your heart. You've lost that peace that thrilled your soul. There was a time when your testimony was bright and vibrant, but today it's dull. And for as long as you can remember, you've been of little use to God. Remember, He can deal with sin. He stands ready to forgive. He is still your Father. He is still the shepherd. And as you listen to these words of the Savior Himself, they are nothing short of the shepherd's call. And in whatever den or dive you may happen to be today, in whatever condition you find yourself, the shepherd's call reaches to your conscience, touches your heart, calls you to pray this simple prayer. Forgive us our debts. Forgive me my debts. All my known sins. Not just one particular sin, or not just one outstanding sin, but all the sins, as the rest of the verse shows, if we're harboring a bitter spirit, then that in itself is sin. We can't say, Lord, forgive me this sin, but I want to hang on to this other sin. Lord, here I am. I've lost out with God. I have in many ways brought dishonor to the name of my Savior. But at the call of a Father who loves me and a Shepherd who seeks me, I come. Forgive me my debts. How to deal with sin in the life of a Christian? There is first and foremost what we must do about sin. Next time around, we will look at what we ask God to do about that sin and what He actually does.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.